We're on the top of Nun Hey Amud Beis, and the Mishnah says Haisa Sham Gidudios, which we'll see are runes. They are runes, and Gvos Asor Tfachim. They are 10 Tfachim high. And the Mishnah says Motziyin Asamida Kenegdam. They extend the boundary of the city, so that we can begin to count the Tchum beyond the boundary after the end of these runes. My Gedudios, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Shalosh Mechitzos. Right, we're talking about a place that has three Mechitzos, Afalpi, Shein Aleihem Tikra. And they don't have a roof, and that means that had they had a roof, it would be a davar pashut that would extend the boundaries of the city, because then it has the status of a rishus hayochid mamish. But here there's no roof, and it's considered still part of the tziruf. It's integrated into the city, and we will calculate 2,000 amma from the Gedudios and beyond. Is Vekolshkeinim Yesh Aleihem Tikra, Shem Dira Gemura, that's Rashi's language. And Iboilu, the Gemara raises the following suffix, Shtei Mechitzos V'Yesh Aleihem Tikra Mau. Would the ruins have enough significance to be mitzurf to the ear and extend the boundary of the city if they only had two mechitzos and a ceiling on top? So that although three mechitzos without a tikra, without a ceiling, is enough, and that's called gedudios, what about two mechitzos but it has a roof on top? Toshma, we're going to try to answer this from a braisa, elu shemis abrim ima. In other words, what are the criterion for structures beyond the city boundary that are included in the city and extend the city beyond those structures? And nefesh, if you recall, we had nefesh back in the Mishnah, and that was a tomb building. Right, a structure that's built as a house for a shomer, or for example, we have Yeshba Arba Amos al Arba Amos, Vagesher Vakever Sheshbaem Beis Dira, a bridge or a graveyard that contains a dwelling place. As we said before, we have a dwelling place in the case of a shomer who gets this kind of a hut that's 4 amos square, and he offers the security for the city, and perhaps also for the gesher, for the wall. Second, sorry. Now we have the dwelling place for the guardian of the graveyard. And in all these cases, it's described as Ein Lahem Beis Dira. I'm sorry, this is Yeshman Beis Dira. I jumped ahead a little bit. And that's where the Shomer will live. Vehaburganin, again, these were, if you remember, little huts that were used by the Shomerim. But we skipped a little bit, let's go back to Beis Knesses, Sheyesh Ba Beis Dira, Lechazon. So the synagogue has a dwelling place for the chazan. In other words, normally a Beis Knesset is not a residential area, but here they specifically have a room that's assigned as a dwelling place for the sexton. And Beis Avodas Kochav Sheyesh Ba Beis Dira LeKomrim, interesting, an idolatrous temple, and as a dwelling place for the priests. And again, usually their churches are not residential, but a room was assigned for this purpose for the priests. Veha Urios of Susim, which means we're talking about horse stables, which again, not considered Dira, but maybe there was an area that it was set aside for the stable boy to take to reside in, the otros, or for example, silos or different kinds of storage places that have a base dira for a shomer, the burgenin, and these huts in the fields, a trif, shosim also the marava. Bekanim, Lishomre Peros, Litsaide Ofos, Shebetocha, and these are all in the field. Babai Shebiyam, and a house on an island in the sea. And this house is just off the coast, within 70 2/3 amas of the city, as Rashi points out. Is in all these cases, if they are, as we said before, close to the city, within 70 2/3 amah, then areilu misabrim imah. This becomes the buro shel ir, that expands and extends the area of the city, and we count from from that point and on 2,000 amah. Veiluhim she'ein misabrim imah. The following list. Those places that did not qualify as Ibur Shel Ir, that's number one, Nefesh, which is a tomb on a graveyard, on a gravestone. She Nifritzav Mishteru Choseh Eilech V'Eilech. So it's open on two sides. And here and there, in other words, there are only two walls remaining. Lo nosru ba el shtei mechitzos va'geshe va'kerev she'ein la'em beis dira beis knesses she'ein la beis dira l'chazim beis avodos kolchavim she'ein la beis dira la'komrim va'urios excuse me va'ach ha'otros she'basados she'ein la'em beis dira l'shomer u'bar some sort of round ditch v'siach, which is a ditch that's a little bit more long and narrow, ma'ara, which we will translate ma'ara as a cave, v'gader, and a stone fence, v'shovach, and a coop for the doves, shebesocha, v'abayis shebesfina, or a house on a boat, Ein elu misabrim ima. These are not included in the city, so that we can extend the city. And even though the boat is within the 70 2/3 amas of the city, nevertheless, it's not counted. It's not fixed. It's not permanent. It basically floats. And we could say that the primary common denominator here for an extension of the city is a structure that serves as a place for eating and sleeping. And in that sense, we're going beyond l'chumra, beyond the definition of a karpaf, which is hukaf l'dir is matir. And we had all sorts of kulos and leniencies with regard to a karpaf and its dira, like, for example, maybe if you plant trees there or something. Now, in the case of the gedudios, those runes, they seem to be valid as an extension of the city,
based on the past, that these areas, these buildings, once upon a time, functioned as a dira. And what are we left with? We're left with their original structure, or at least some part or significant remnant of their original structure. As we said before, three mechitzos and a tikra. Ktoni mias, we see in this price a nefesh, which is that tombstone, shenifetzo mishtei ruchoseha eilech v'eilech, that if it was breached on two sides here and there, and you left with two walls, is my love the ika tikra? Shouldn't we assume that this tomb building has a roof to it? And if it has a roof to it, plus two mechitzos, as we said before, nevertheless it's not integrated into the city for purposes of Ibur Ha'ir, then this would seem to answer the original question that the Gemara had raised. Here we have a place that has two mechitzos, it has a tikra, and nevertheless it's not part of the extension of the city. And that would be poshet the original suffix, that only a place that has three mechitzos can be integrated as an extension of the city. And that applies even without a tikra. In a place that has only two mechitzos, it's not integrated into the city, even if it has a tikra. So Gemara rejects this lo, deleka tikra. When the Braisa talks about nefesh shenifritza, it's a case where there is no ceiling, and all you're left with, therefore, is two mechitzos, and that's not going to be integrated into the houses of the city. It could be possible that a place that has two mechitzos and a tikra with this roof, it would be mitztaref, it would be integrated into the city. And therefore the Gemara really comes to no definite conclusion as far as our original suffix is concerned. Now the Gemara tries to clarify the dinim that are quoted in this brisa. For example, it says that a bias, which is omed al isha biyam, in an island surrounded by sea, is mitztaref, that extends the city. It's together with all the other houses of the city, if that house on the water is within 70 and 2/3 am of the city. So the Gemara asks, Bayis Shabiyam Lamai Chazi, what purpose does it serve that we can integrate into the city? It's part of the city. We don't usually build parts of the city in the middle of an island. Omar Papa, what's the case in the Braisa of Ibayas Sha'osui Lefanospo Kalim Shebesfina? Which apparently means that as the boats are traveling and they want to remove all sorts of utensils from the ship until they'll need them, and they store them in this little house, this little structure of a building, and this structure is significant, therefore, and it remains an extension of the city. Now, here we have machlokas between the Avnei Nezer and the Chazon Ish. In the case of Abai Shasui Lefanos Bo Kelim Shebesfina, this boathouse, the Chazon Ish insists that the boathouse, in order to be Mizaber Im Ha'ir, it has to be a dwelling area, like we saw before with regard to stables and silos, and in addition, it has to be an area that was used for the ship's utensils, for the Lefanospo to store or to remove from the ship, you know, these utensils. On the other hand, the Avni Nezer has an etshuva that Bayis Esh HaBiyam ain't Darim Bo Bnei Yom. Nobody lives there. So we're not talking about a dwelling area. Elarak Mefanim Elov Kalim Shebesvino. Because if there were people residing in this house, then for sure we don't need the Braisa to teach me a Chiddush that it's Misavar in the ear. The Chiddush here is that even though no one's living there, but it's considered an extension of the city because that's where we remove and store Kalim on this ship till further use. Now the Braisa says about a cave that's not included, incorporated into the city, Lisaber Ima. So the Gemara asks, Uma'ara ein misaberes ima vatani Rabbi Chia ma'ara misaberes ima. Rabbi Chia has a brisa which it teaches us that a cave is included in the extension. Amar Abaye, kishiyesh binyan al piha. That the brisa which includes the cave in the extension, the Ibur Shel Ir, that's a case where there's a building over the mouth of the cave, and that makes the cave into a dwelling. But a cave in and of itself, if it wasn't Kishiyesh Binyan Al Pia Samach Lepischa Shel Ma'ara, then it would not be considered a dwelling, and it would not be part of the Ibur Shel Ir. Now, if the Bryce is talking about a cave that has a building attached to it on the entranceway into the cave, so why did I need the Bryce to tell me it's Misaber Meir? Typically, Mishum Binyan Gufe. Just call it a structure, and it's a house, and people are living inside this cave. Lotzricha, the Gemara says, we need this Bryce for a case in which the ma'ara that's close to this binyan, that case we don't, then it's a binyan gufe, but lahashlim es shira binyan, ba'ofen shabinyan ein bo arba amos al arba amos. So the structure itself, the binyan gufa as we called it, does not have the minimum size of a dira, which is 4 amos square, and therefore would not be misaber meir. But since we can add to it the ma'ara as an attachment to the house, as an extension, then it has the shear of dalid amos, and therefore we can extend it and include it as part of the buro shel ir. Omar Rav Huna, Yoshve Tsrifin, people who live in tents that are very temporary in structure, they're made of straw or different kinds of leaves. Ein Modedin Lahem, right? Ela mi Pesach Bot Sehen. So we don't calculate the 2,000 am of the Tchum Shabbos except from the Pesach Bateyah, meaning that even in a situation where there's a complete yishuv of houses, ke'elu einam nidonim ki'ir achas, me'achav edirosom eina diras keva, fichach ein donis e'ir kula ke'arba Ke'arba amos limdod hatchum mikotzel imikzeo ir el kolechid mon alpayim amo mibesa. So these are the Yoshvei Tzrifin. Their dira is not a dira's keva, and they don't set up a city which would make it such that everybody is living ki'ilu within the same 4 amos, and will calculate the tchum from the end boundary of the city. But in the case of Yoshve Tzrifin, these hut dwellers And as we said before, in the case of these huts that were made of kash and ale arava, is even if there's a full yishuv of these kinds of structures, they're not considered like a city because it's not a diras keva. Masiv Rav Chisda raises the following kasha. It says in the psukim dealing with Machne Bnei Yisrael Bamidbar, it says in Bamidbar Lamed Gimel Vayachnu al Hayarden Mibeis Hayishimos Ad Avel Ashitim Ba'arvos Mo'ov. The pasuk says that they encamped. I want to just read the English translation here. They encamped alongside the Jordan from Beis HaYishimos until Avel HaShitim. V'yomar Rabba Barachona L'didi Chaziliyahu Asrai saw that area. And V'ahava Tlosa Parsi Al Tlosa Parsi. It was a very large area of 3 Parsi square. Bitanya, we learned in a brisa, in the case of the chanoya of Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar, Kshem Gnifnim, when they needed to make a bowel movement, then they couldn't do it inside the machne, they had to go outside the machne, and Ein Nifnim lo lifnem v'lo litzideyem. Neither ahead of them, meaning ahead of the camp, or in an area which was alongside the camp, Ella Lachran. They would have to go behind the camp. So someone is at the front of the camp, would now have to walk over 3 parsos to reach the latrine behind the camp. Now, if the camp consisted only of temporary domiciles, then if the tchum is measured from the door of each tent, he shouldn't have been permitted to walk that distance on Shabbos. And here, to summarize the Gemara's kasha here, Rav Chisda's kasha, Misbar mi divrei abraisa, we see from the braisa that Elu bnei Yisrael sheyadorim b'tchilas hamachne, kasher hutzchu lipono, so yichozun lachoreim sholosh parsos, Liorech kol amachne ad sheyotzu lechutz. Imagine they'd have to walk as far as Sholosh Parsos. I don't know how they could do that. Ulechori yesh letmoa rei bnei Yisrael b'midbar yoshvim yoshvei tzrifim hayu. Shekein doru bel holim. Ubedivrei Rav Huna, lidivrei Rav Huna, I should say. Hayolahem limanos alpayim ama vibateim and kain ketzer hutolem lahalof b'shava shol parsos el behechrich tzorch lomar sha'af yoshvei tzrifim nidonim ki'ir achas ulefichach, and therefore hayakol amach nidon lehem ka'arba amos v'shaloki divrei Rav Huna. Let's review the kasha of the Gemara. Bnei Yisrael in the Machnos were what you call Yoshvei Tzrifim. They were living in tents on a temporary basis. And when they had to go Liponos, when they went back 3 Parsos, Liorech Kol HaMachna, until they went outside the Machna. Now, according to Rav Huna, Hayolahem limnos alpayim ama mibateim. They should have been counting 2,000 ama from their houses. So how would they be mutter to go back 3 parsos on Shabbos? That doesn't make any sense. Unless you assume that even Yoshvei Tzrifim are considered as if they're living in a city, and therefore the entire machna is considered like arba amos against Rav Huna. Amalei Rava, so Rava answers to Rav Chisda, Digle Midbar Ka'amrit, you're asking a kasha from the people of Israel, Bnei Yisrael, that were encamped in the desert, nothing can be proven from that. The came of the Ksivbu al Pi Hashem Yachnu al Pi Hashem Yiso keman de Kfiyelu Dami. So they had to be koveh their dira, and that was a permanent dira until Hashem would tell them to move on. It's time to march onward. So this is not like a classic Yoshvei Tzrifit that it could only calculate from their homes. Here, they're not living in a diras aroy because Yisrael in the Midbar and their Chanoya was al pi Hashem, they're considered like a diras keva. And there's something very similar in the Yerushalmi. Omar Rav Chinina Bar Rav Kahana Rav Ashi Im Yesham Shosh Chatzeros Shol Shnei Batim Hukbu. If you have a place of Yoshei Tzrifin and there are three Chatzeros B'chol Achas Mem Shnei Batim, each one of these Chatzeros has two, a minimum of two Batim that are permanent structures made of wood or stone, is then all the batim are hukbu, are considered kavua. And in Tzrifin, the same din applies, that it's considered one city, since there are three chatzeros, in each chatzer has a minimum of two batim, which are kavuim, then it's considered like a city, and then we can be mitzarif and integrate into this city, even the Yoshvei Tzrifim, and the entire city is considered like four amos. And we can measure Alpayim Amma from the edge of the city, the outer boundary of the city. Om Rav Yudah Omer Rav, Yoshvei Tzrifim. People who are, let's say, grazing their flock, and they live in these kinds of huts, and they bring their wives in there usually, for a month or 2 months until there's no longer grazing area for their animals, and then they move on to another place. Or the holchei midbarios, people who go through the desert with their wives, chayehen einom chayim, v'nasheim uvneim einom shalahem. Their lives are not really like lives. In other words, they're not living in a bayis shel keva. They're always on the move. And, you know, they're subject to the elements, the winds and the rains. And even their wives are not really their wives. There's a lot of adultery going on in such cases. And the children are mamzerim. And the Gemara is going to explain why this happens, this kind of phenomenon. Tanya Nami Hochi, we learned this in a brisa, Eliezer Ish Birya Omer Yoshvei Tzrifim Ki Yoshvei Kvarim. Right, they're like dead people. Their lives are not lives. Al Benoseim Hu Omer, the Pasuk says at the end of Sefer Dvarim, it says Or Shochev Im Kol Behema, meaning that you're not allowed to marry them. They are. There's a lot of mamzerus over here going on. My Taima, why is it that there's so much adultery going on? And the answer is, Ulo Omar She'ein Lahem Merchatzos. Because in the place where they are staying, there are no bathhouses. And the men travel pretty far. They move at a distance in order to wash themselves. And in the meantime, their wives find adulterers because the city is left without men. I mean, the men are just away from the cities. Rav Yochanan Omer, he gives a different explanation. Neshamar Gishim Zela Zebet Fila. There are no mikvos in the place where they're living, and the women have to go to be tovel in a far distant place. And a woman will call out to her neighbor to go with her, and other neighbors would hear about it. And there's a Russia who starts running after them and, you know, finds a private place to be with them. And this also reflects what the Gemara says at the end of Kedushin, that one man is not allowed to be alone with two women, according to that So that opinion in the Gemara, which we paskin like, we accept. My binayu, the Gemara wants to know, is there a difference in halacha between Ula's explanation and Rabbi Yochanan? And the Gemara answers, Ika binayu, the nafkamin is going to be Nara desomech lebesa. If you have a river that's close to the house, if the conditions are proper, the river could actually be suitable for tvila, so no need for the women to travel. The men, however, still need to journey to a nearby city for a bathhouse. And they're not going to go and be tovel themselves in a river. So he says, Nara somach lebesam roi hu letfila v'lo l'rechitza. Is l'shitas Rabbi Yochanan ein kan chashash. Sherei ein ha'isha tzricha litbol b'mokom rochok. And the shcheinim are not margishim v'ava l'shitas ula. We still have a chashash because the men have to go far away for a rechitza. And the Gemara now quotes Rav Huna as far as an ear, or uyel magure talmidei chachamim. Omer Rav Huna kol ear she'ein bo yerek ein talmid chacham rashoi lodur bo. A city that doesn't have vegetables in it is not a place that's appropriate for, suitable for a talmid chacham to reside in it. Vegetables provide nutrition and an addition to the diet that's going to allow the Talmud Chacham to subsist on a smaller income, devote more time to Torah study. So the Gemara asks, "Lememra de yerek mi alya?" Are you saying that vegetables are healthy for the body? Ve'asanya, don't we have a brisa that says shlosha marvim es hazevel? No, there are three things that increase an excrement of a person, the kofifin esakoma, and they weaken the posture of a person, they cause a person to stoop down. And they steal 1/500th of a person's eyesight. The Eluheim, and here we're turning to Daf Nun Vav Amud Aleph, Paskibar V'Shecher Chadosh V'Yerek. Coarse bread, fresh beer, and vegetables. We see the vegetables are not healthy. So why does Rav Huna recommend them for a Torah scholar? Okasha, the Gemara answers, Ha betume vekarte, ha beshar yarke. So the statement of Rav Huna refers to garlic and leek. Those are healthful. But other vegetables are not so healthful. And Kiristanya, to support this, the Gemara quotes a brisa, shum yarok, garlic is a vegetable, meaning it's a healthy vegetable, kreshin chatzi yarok, leeks are half vegetables, half is healthy, and niresam chayim, a radish is a medicine that has appeared. So we see that garlic is healthful. The Gemara now questions the end of the brisa that radishes are healthful. Vatanya niritzno niram sam hamoves, that radishes are poison. Lokasha kan bi olin kan bi mos. So when we talk about the leaves of the radish, that's not healthy. But the mos, meaning the roots of the radish, are healthy. Or alternatively, kan bi mos achama. And it seems that radish roots are healthful only in the summer months, but kandimos hakshamim, they're not too healthy in the winter months. And perhaps the difference is that in the summer months, radish can cool off the body, that makes it healthful. And in Eretz Yisrael, it rains during the winter, that's why we call it yimos hakshamim. During the summer, there's basically no rain at all. So we use the term Yimos HaGshamim to refer to the winter. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, kol ir sheyesh ba milos umorados, any city that has ascents or steep ascents and descents, which means that travel is difficult, Odom ubehema sheba, the people and the animals in the city, mesim b'chatzi yameim, they die halfway through their life, in middle age. They don't live their normal lifespan. So the Gemara asked, mesim salkadait, can we take this literally? Just because there are, you know, steep climbs or descents, therefore people are going to die. Ela ema mazkinim b'chatzi yameim. They age halfway through their years. And there's a strain of walking up, walking down the steep paths, and they age prematurely. Omer Rav Huna, Bered Rav Yeshua, Hani Mol Yosa, Devei Bire, Udevei Norosh, Azkinun. The steep roads between the cities of Bire and Narchash will, or Norosh, will cause age, and he testifies in himself, it caused him to age prematurely. Okay, then, at this point, we'll take a break. I think we ran out of time for today, and Emirat Hashem, in the next year, we'll pick it up on Daf Nun Vav Amar Aleph, Tanur Rabbanan, approximately 12 lines down from the top of the page.